Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I'm a greatly recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, April 28, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 34, the first paragraph, as we look back, reading through one paragraph, ending with most of them within a few weeks. Today's readers are, we have the 12 Steps, Anne-Marie M., 12 Traditions, Jen P., Reader of the Text, Susan H., page 164, Rena L., our backup today is Tony B., newcomer greeter is Cheryl L., and our second hour host is Matt J.F. And thank you for your service in April, guys. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, April 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,404. That is 23,404. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,405. That's 23,405. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne-Marie M., to please come on in and read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning. Thank you, Anne-Marie M. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Now I'm going to ask Jen P. to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Jen P. calling from New Jersey, compulsive overeater living in this Duluth today, and grateful for that. The 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen P. from New Jersey. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 34, the first paragraph. It starts with, as we look back through one paragraph ending, most of them within a few weeks. I'm commenting on that one paragraph, and I'm now going to ask Susan S.H. to please come in and begin reading. Come on in, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. This is Susan S.H. In St. Mary's, Ohio. I'm a real compulsive overeater, recovered today. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. Okay. I have some things written beside of this. Abstinence gives a false sense of security. And truly, I never had abstinence. Sometimes I was successful in diets with, I call them cookie fits. When I was on a diet and I would start eating something I was not supposed to. And they were common, but I could go back to it at that time for a while until I couldn't. I don't think that I could have cold turkey quit all those things on my own, ever. That's why when I was in my 20s and I went to my first meeting, I went and walked away thinking, they're nuts, and I couldn't possibly do that stuff. I was sure that was not for me. that. So you may be able to stop for a considerable period. I was not, just diets. That was the time that I could stop. And more likely, more diets than I stayed on and had some success at, more of them I would be eating within hours of making that decision. I have never been so blessed as I am with this way of life. Not only because my weight is pretty steady and it's been good for quite a few years now, but I have a relationship with a higher power that I could never quite grasp before. So that is the real joy of this. But that's something that you can try that if you think you got it. But I couldn't do it. I could not do it on my own steam. So that's my experience. The steps were the answer for me. Absolutely the answer. That is the only way that I could maintain my abstinence. So I'm grateful and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H., for getting us started. I'm ready to take some names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. So please press *1 to unmute your phone. And I'm ready to take your names.
Dorita P.
from Oregon.
Andy.
Shelly B.
This is who I have: Dorita, Tanya, and Nancy C.
Shelly B.
Kathy R.
Who was there for Shelly?
From Oregon.
Kathy R.
Was someone after Shelly and before Liz?
Yes. Liz S.
Would anyone else like to share this morning? I have Dorita, Tanya. Thank you, Nancy. So I have
Esther
Dorita. Okay, this is a good lineup. So we have Dorita P, Tanya G, Nancy C, Shelly B, Liz F, Nancy P, and Esther K. Dorita, please come on in and share with us.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service. I have my phone on speaker. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippin. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, I like this. At the bottom, it says, we think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolution, most of them within a few weeks. Yes, it just speaks of the powerlessness. And describes me. I am powerless over food. And I know that to my core. And, it speaks about, we have to know. They say in our innermost selves, somewhere in here. And, I couldn't stop eating. I could not stop eating for the life of me. And when I came to OA back in 1999, my diet stopped working. I could diet like in the past, and I tried fasting. And when I was in junior high school, fasting took off a lot of weight, and I got down to 115, and I say I was at 115 for 15 minutes. But I relapsed, I guess, back in, I went to jail in 2008, October of 22, and I relapsed somewhere around there, maybe December of 22, and I got out in March. So I was there for 5 months. And I was okay for the first couple months. And some of it was not of my choice, but I was okay. In fact, when I first went to jail, I lost weight. I lost about, 20 pounds or so. But when I left, I had gained probably maybe about 40 pounds or 50 pounds almost probably when I left. I mean, this disease is, they call it insidious. I'm not even really sure exactly the meaning of the word, but I think it's something like crazy. This disease is, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I'm just grateful that I found Overeaters Anonymous.
Okay.
I lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dorita. I'm sorry. If you're not Dorita, please make sure you're muted. I'm sorry, Dorita.
That's okay. How much time I have left?
6 seconds.
Okay. I'm so grateful I found Overeaters Anonymous back in 1999. And I'm back on track. And I found the higher power, and that's what I needed, a higher power, a relationship with the higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share, and welcome any newcomers.
That was Dorita P. from Ohio. Next up, we have Tanya G. and Nancy C. And if you are not Tanya, please make sure you're muted. Come on in, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D as in dog, recovered compulsive eater in Illinois. To me, this paragraph and the text surrounding it is just trying to explain what real alcoholism looks like, which I think it also applies to compulsive overeating, in that it doesn't have to be we're out of control all the time. You know, to me, what this disease is I don't know when I'm going to have control or not. Control, which really means that I don't have control, right? If I can't say, yes, I can reliably stay away from my binge foods for a year, or I can reliably eat moderate amounts of them, I'm not in control. You know, that doesn't happen to normal people. And I think the reason they're kind of giving this illustration here that, you know, people might be able to stay dry for a couple of weeks, is just so people don't get the idea that, oh, well, you know, I was sober or whatever, abstinent for 3 weeks, 5 weeks, therefore I don't have a problem. You know, to me, what is the problem is that I can't stay stopped. And I have to be convinced of myself. Nobody else can diagnose that for me. And, you know, and I have to do that experimentation, but I also appreciate it. These kinds of reminders that me being able to eat, you know, quote unquote, normally for weeks or even months is not evidence that I don't. The question is, can I keep doing it? Kind of, you know, if it's a real compulsive overeater, I just can't. And so grateful for the reminder today, and with that,
that was Tanya. Thank you. That was Tanya D from Illinois. Next up, we have Nancy C, followed by Shelley and then Liz. And if you just joined us, we are in the big book. We are on page 34, the first paragraph. As we look back, reading that to the end of that, most of them within a few weeks. Nancy, please come in and share with us.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Michigan. And when I read this paragraph this morning, I just started laughing because this is so me that, you know, every diet I tried, I thought I could control. I could control the outcome, and I couldn't. Now, understanding that we're in the book where we've gone through that we're distinct entities and that we have the double whammy, that we have an allergy. I never understood that. So I would try and try again. And again, the operative word is I can't do any of this. It has to be a power outside of myself that can. But when I think of all the diets I tried and how I felt so accomplished that I got through them, only to go back and do another diet or try to do the same diet, not being able to repeat the results because I can't go backwards. I can only go forwards. But if you're new on this line today and you've been through the doctor's opinion and understanding that our problem is a double whammy, that we have an allergy that's going to keep driving us to the food, and that if we don't have any solution, we're going to keep going back. So the powerlessness had to find that power. And it was through all the failed attempts till when I finally found God and found this program and was able to move forward, understanding that this is not me at all. No diet is going to fix me. The only thing that can is working this step and get a relationship with God and with my fellows. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. Next up, we have Shelly, followed by Liz S. Shelly, come on in and share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Shelly B. in Iowa. So grateful to be here this morning. What a great reading. And I feel like I'm not going to say anything new because everybody has touched on such good stuff. You know, I think back to all the diets that I was on, and it was me. I'm going to do this. I never did it occur to me, one, that I had an allergy of the body and couldn't ingest certain foods, and two, that I could turn this over to a higher power. Like, I was okay with turning other things over to a higher power, but not the food. I'm going to take care of that. And obviously that didn't work. And so I was constantly dieting, going back out. And, you know, I even remember hearing at a Pay and Weigh once that you had to lose all the weight you could the first time, because after that they didn't work. And I think, you know, I don't know if that probably doesn't speak to normal people, but to a compulsive overeater, that makes sense to me. Like, it doesn't work anymore. And so coming into program and conceding to my innermost self that I'm a compulsive overeater was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And once conceding, like, now that I'm in recovery and I have to surrender all the time. And I always thought, well, I'll surrender that one time, you know, old ideas. I'll surrender that one time and then I'll be okay. God knows what I need. But God wants me to surrender all the time and plug in all the time. And, you know, sometimes that disease pops back in and tells me I'm not a compulsive overeater, and I have to be on guard for those. You know, I'm not at that point where I'm completely neutral when those old ideas pop in, you know, so I have to have some willingness to do things, you know, step 10s. I have to be willing to be in the steps all the time, because that's the only thing that's going to save my butt is being in the steps. And sometimes being out in the real world has become a little bit uncomfortable around other normal eaters or other compulsive overeaters that maybe don't know it yet. I don't know. Not my place to judge. But, you know, I just know I am different. And I am grateful to accept today that I am different. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Shelly B. from Iowa. Next up, we have Liz S., Nancy, and then Esther. And after Esther, we can take another lineup. We're on page 34, first paragraph. Liz, please come in and share with us.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Liz S. from Oregon. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line today. I really need your support today. this paragraph reminds me of when I first got into 12 steps about 29 years ago. And I started a program that had the gray sheet as the food plan. And I lost all my weight, which at that time was not too bad. It was like 35 pounds, but that seemed awful to me then, huge. And I thought I had done it on my own willpower. Yeah, I heard this God stuff. Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I had it. And I still have times when I don't turn to God. This morning, our 13-year-old, 100-pound dog could not walk. And I went to my first default, which is don't feel. After a couple of things that happened, I was able to say to God, God, please let me feel. And I cried. And I just want to say that when I was on Gray Sheet, I was doing that for ego, and self-will power. And it worked for 3 years. I kept up the facade for another 3 years, for, you know, by gaining a little bit, thinking it was just maintenance. But I now understand. I believe in God. I don't know what it is that I believe in, but I do believe in God, and that was the missing piece, and that is what's missing when they're talking about if he's a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. And I would just add, until he accepts a higher power, other, you know, whatever that higher power can be, and I can't even qualify it. So thank you for letting me share. I needed to share today. I appreciate you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz S. from Oregon. Next up, we have Nancy P., followed by Esther. And after Esther, I can take some more names. Come on in, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in Western Massachusetts, driving to Connecticut. So this book didn't appeal to me. None of it appealed to me. I got the book that I use with my sponsees and et cetera back in 1979, and that was after I had already been in the program for 5 or 6 years. And I used to read this book. I mean, I've read it tens of thousands of times in the past 50-plus years. I've gone to big book step meetings, you know, I've gone to just regular big book meetings. I've read the book just with, you know, all different ways, all different circumstances. And until I came to this meeting, to A Vision for You, and finally recovered, or, you know, I was separated from food for the last time, it didn't appeal to me. And if I did read it, I read it as though it didn't apply to me. Excuse me. So, you know, I thought, well, I can stay sober for a year or more because I thought about alcohol. And even though I never drank for any reason other than, you know, for a fact, you know, my husband can drink wine. If it's, I don't know if he likes wine or he likes beer, and he drinks it and can say it tastes this way or that way. Never overindulges. I can't do that with alcohol, but I don't drink it anymore, and I've never missed it. But I used to think of it like it's not food that's my problem. This book is talking about alcohol, even though every single meeting that I've ever gone to, every single compulsive overeater, anybody that I've ever talked to or listened to or heard or thought about or anything, has never said, this is about alcohol. They've all said, this is about food. There was some sort of disconnect, you know, a wrinkle in my brain that, you know, mental twist, whatever, that I didn't actually think it applied to me. And on the rare occasions when I said things like, well, I'm just not going to eat anymore, immediately, it was like I had this eye thing, and it came on me really suddenly, and I called the doctor, and I said, it feels like there's 1,000 rats trying to crawl out of my eye. I have to be seen today. And that's what would happen if I if I ever thought about putting the food down. Immediately, I would be like, where can I get some food immediately for having such blasphemous thoughts that, you know, I wasn't going to eat compulsively. And, you know, I don't care about God or anything, but when I was finally in enough pain, I said, tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I called a friend. I had called a friend, my dear friend, who I've known, oh God, 50 years. And she told me about this meeting. And I did not know that it was going to work. How would I have done? I've tried everything, paid ways, meet different meetings, more meetings, fewer meetings, you know, whatever, all that stuff. And nothing ever worked until I came and said, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And I did whatever I was told immediately and as hard as I could. And I just wanted the pain to stop. And I had no idea what was in store for me. You know, I don't even like
that's
the word time
news.
Yep, I'll wrap up. It's not my goal. My goal is one thing and one thing only. And everybody just say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Esther. And after Esther, I could take some more names. Please come in and share with us, Esther.
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Georgia. I'm very grateful to be here. Well, I am. The truth is, I do not know when I will lose control. It can come in a second. If I'm not connected with a higher power, and it's a cycle, like, you know, like I lose weight, I stop, I start again, I gain weight over and over. This disease is very powerful. This is so powerful that can destroy me. I'm dealing with cancer right now, and I feel that this disease is stronger than cancer, because cancer, yes, I had surgery, I'm taking a pill, I'm having radiation, and I'm getting better. But if I don't connect with a higher power and ask him for help to guide me and show me the way, it's not going to be a true recovery. I can temporarily take control, but it's not going to be the solution. And I temporarily can stop. I had gastric bypass surgery. That didn't stop me to stop eating. And the real truth is I am totally powerless over food. And my solution is when I shake hands with higher power every single morning and I say, here I am, higher power. What is your will for me today? Meditate, make my phone calls, do service, go to meetings, and be a service to higher power. And that's the only day, the only way I can recover. Today is my 46-day abstinence, and I'm counting it, and I'm so grateful. When I weigh myself now, I says, I'm giving it to you, higher power. It's your weight. It's not mine. And if I lose the weight 1 week, good. If I didn't, it's okay. If I keep doing what higher power wants and I'm totally honest with myself and sending my food to my sponsor, I will lose the weight and I'll keep it off. But Esther cannot do it alone. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That's Esther K. from Georgia. I'm now ready to take a second lineup. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share, please press star 1 and give me your name.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
The only person I heard was Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Leia
anyone
F.
else? Thank you, Leia.
Ken W. H.
Thank you, Ken.
Ann M., North Carolina.
Thank you, Ann. I could take 2 or 3 more.
Deborah B. from New Jersey. Cheryl
from New Jersey, please?
Vinny from...
Okay, I'm sorry. Who's somebody from New Jersey? I didn't get the first name.
Vinny S. from New York.
No, before... I got you, Vinny, but who was after Ann and before Cheryl? Somebody from New Jersey? I didn't get their name.
Devo Rebbe.
Thank you so much. That's a great lineup. Hopefully we can get everyone in there before they end. So we have Nick, Leah, Ken, Ann, Devore, Cheryl, and Vinny. Nick, please come in and share with us.
Oh, boy. Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. You're doing an excellent job. My name is Nikki F. I'm definitely a compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Y'all just have to bear with me. I was so excited that I was going to get to share this morning. I was like, oh, boy, because I wanted to purposefully get to work extra early just so that I could sit here, and I thought it would run out of time before I could share. So I don't know why, but I'm really excited. Thank you all for being here and being a part of my medicine. This is my medicine, and I have to be here. This what stands out to me in this reading is talk about a dangerous area. This is a real dangerous area for me. I'm not that far removed from this very dangerous area of when I couldn't connect with a sponsor, and when I did connect, I would say, well, no, that's just what I'm going to eat. Like, I'm not throwing that out. That was my plan, and it was a very dangerous plan. I was putting on weight very, very fast. I was dying very, very fast. This is life and death for me. Also, it's a dangerous area when I'm driving, you know, and before I go to work, I'm getting thousands of calories. I have a very important job by the grace of God, and I need to be clear. And this morning, as I was driving to work and listening to the shares, I heard my tummy rumble. Like, I actually get hungry when I'm not eating. It seems as if a million calories, but I have my food with me, and I can warm it up, and I know that I'm going to be fed, and I know that I'm going to be nourished today. That's so different than being in a danger zone. And really, when I'm undecided, when I haven't made that decision, when I haven't taken step 1, 2, and 3, that is like hell for me, this compulsive overeater. You know, I left off at 560 in my highest weight. And I could easily go to 600 and 700 pounds, I'm sure. That's very dangerous. I have a young child that I need to be present for. I have a job that I need to be present for. I have, you know, a life that calls me to be present. But when I'm in a danger zone, I'm just shaking and scared and just trying to feed myself. So I'll pass with thank you all for feeding me today. And excellent job, Rick J, on a special edition. I pass.
Thank you, Nick F. from Tennessee. Next up, we have Leah S., followed by Ken W.H. Leah, please come in and share with us.
Thank you so much. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So how do I stay stopped? Truth of the matter is, whether I'm going to have that slice or I'm going to have those fries, you know, it's not going to show. And even if I'm going to have who knows how many of those pints or whatever it is, you know, it's not going to show on the outside. It's not going to show. So why not, you know, chip off a little bit over here, chip off a little bit over there. And what's going to keep me? What's going to keep me on this program of food that is good for my body and also that is, in the long run, just going to make me feel okay? So if you really look into page 84, where this big book is giving you some promises, I would say, I don't need all that stuff because, you know, you're talking about God. You could, I'm talking about food. I'm not talking about this or that. These are higher things that I can't even comprehend. But if you pick one sentence, which I did, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. So what happened with me was that my attitude was that tomorrow I'll get onto a diet and I know I'll lose the weight. You know, I'll kill myself and I'll lose the weight and I'll keep it off. And all of a sudden, more things become more important to me. Things that are going on in my life, all around me. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people that I live with. That, you know, like all of a sudden, I'm taking interest in, real interest in those that I care about. And that becomes more and more important. And as those become more and more important, my thinking starts thinking, wait, I can't control this either. I can't control that either. I do need that higher power. That's why when you hear other people saying, this happened, that happened, these are all because things started becoming much more important. Not that eating right and keeping your body in good shape and healthy shape, actually. But other things around me start becoming very more important also. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Leah S. from New York, thank you so much. Next up, we have Ken W.H., followed by Ann M. Ken, come on in and share with us.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovery compulsive eater from North Carolina. I had some trouble with this paragraph relating it in the sense that I don't ever recall looking back and feeling it necessary to stop or ever wanting to stop. I just didn't want to have the after effects of weight gain and fat and constantly looking at myself and windows and things and trying to suck it in and look thinner than I was. And interestingly enough, I went on a diet once a long time ago, and my first diet was to stop drinking beer for a year, and I lost 35 pounds. That's a lot of carbohydrates that I was ingesting, and so I stopped. The only problem was is that I was also a drinker, and so I just changed brand, so to speak, and went that liquor. And I could drink that too and not gain weight, but I never stopped eating. I wasn't one of those people that drank and couldn't eat. No, I did both really well, thank you very much. So I never thought in terms of needing to quit, needing to stop. I just needed to do less of both. And it wasn't till years later that I found out that I couldn't do less on a regular basis, that there's just no way I could pull back. And actually, I really didn't want to deep down inside. I think I just wanted to keep feeling the way I was feeling when I would use what I used. And the day did come when it became absolutely necessary that I stop and start to recover and start to develop a relationship with my God, the God of my understanding, who today is the only place I look for relief from anything that's bugging me. Just go to God. And I don't have this need now to test anything. Testing my sobriety, testing my abstinence testing anything is a waste of my time, and it's a waste of God's time. And so I don't do that anymore, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Ken W.H. from North Carolina. We have 10 minutes left and four people. Anne Marie M., Devorah, Cheryl, and Vinny. I'm not sure if we can get you in. Anne, come on in and share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Anne M. in North Carolina, and I'm currently camping on the coast. I wanted to share this morning because, not because my story is any different from any others, but maybe because it's the same and a slightly different take on it. Anyway, I came into OA 15 years ago, and I knew at the time I needed to stop eating sugar, quote, the way an alcoholic stops alcohol, unquote. That was my words. So I did. And I didn't have anything with sugar in it at the top, you know, one of the top ingredients for over 2 years. And consequently lost a lot of weight. And so when I read this paragraph, it's, yes, not only did I have all that history of dieting, but, oh, in this program, I found the magic answer. I found this fellowship, and I found the power to abstain from my most alcoholic food. But slowly but surely, other foods became alcoholic foods because I was still relying on myself. I was doing exactly what this paragraph warns us against. And so while I thought I had recovery those first years, I actually did not. And I know that because after about 5 or 6 years, I relapsed. And I relapsed big time, and for 2 years I was back in the food. I am so grateful that I found a new sponsor, and I found the textbook that is the big book that tells me that my recovery must rely on a power greater than myself. And so once again, I have abstained from sugar, my most alcoholic food, but I have also learned to abstain from other recreational foods, if you will, and from certain food behaviors that tend to trigger my compulsion. And I absolutely accept that I have an allergy of the body, a compulsion of the mind, and every morning I pray to the God of my understanding to help me find the willingness to stay abstinent just for today. With that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Anne. If everyone else takes 2 minutes, we can get, well, three in. Devorah, Cheryl, and then Vinny. Devorah, please come in and share with us. Devorah from New Jersey.
Yes, hi, it's Devorah from New Jersey. Sorry, I was muted. Thank you so much, everyone, for this meeting. And thank you, moderator. I'm sitting here nodding along and relating to everything that everyone says, and it's amazing how similar we all are in our disease and in our recovery. I tried a lot of times to stop before I hit OA. And it never helped. I could lose, but I wasn't able to keep it off, and I couldn't understand why, because I thought of myself as a person with a lot of willpower. And when I came to the rooms, I held down a 5-year period of abstinence before I hit a 10-year period of relapse. So it definitely wasn't and it wasn't intentional, like, oh, let me try going back to the food and see what happens. Now maybe I can eat normally. I knew I couldn't, but it was more like not living with God, just living with, you know, sort of like a diet with group support. It couldn't last for me. I needed something with more depth and weight. And today I have 120 days of abstinence. I never had this long in the past 10 years. I'm so grateful. And for me today, the dangerous area is not, you know, living with liquor for a year or, you know, whatever that the food component of that would be. It's more like letting go of my Creator for even a minute. Anything that irritates me, even a tiny little bit, anything that bothers me, anytime I'm feeling like I'm taking back control, for me is the danger zone, and I need to run as fast as I can back to God, take it to Him, surrender it to Him, pray about it, meditate over it, and just leave it alone until He gives me the answer and the clarity and the peace of mind. So I just hung up with a couple of sponsees, and I felt myself being in that danger zone of just feeling discontent, like, oh, you know, maybe they're not listening to what I have to say, and you know, maybe they're going to pick up the food. And no, that's between them and God and themselves. I have nothing to do with this. So for me, that's my safety zone today, just running to God, and with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Devore. What is the first initial of your last name?
It's B as in boy.
Thank you so much. That was Devore B from New Jersey. Next up, we have Cheryl L and Vinnie S. And if you could both take 2 minutes each, that would work out great. Come on in, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be on the meeting. This paragraph really speaks to me, especially the word resolution, because I made so many resolutions, you know, both before I entered OA for the first time and before I came back to this program. And there were so many different ways in which I tried to abstain, you know, from eating to the point where I was causing myself harm. And it was of no avail because I was introducing the substances every single day. I can't get out of the substances if I continue to stay in the substance. The phrase that comes to mind for me this morning listening to the shares is really that what I have today is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So I might think that my spiritual condition is good and, you know, that I don't have to pay too much attention to it for today. I can just kind of coast along. But my experience has shown me that that is not the case. If I go a day without my morning meditation time, I feel the effects of it. Maybe not, you know, at this point I have to say I feel the effects of it even in the day that I'm not doing it. And usually it's because I'm rushed. And so, you know, taking that time in the morning to get myself gathered, to put myself in God's loving presence is essential for me. And all the other things that I do as the guardrails to my abstinence, my recovery today, you know, they keep me on the path, and working with others has been a real essential part of staying in the middle of the boat. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Cheryl, thank you so much. That was Cheryl L. from Florida. And next up, we have Vinnie S. Vinnie, you have 2 minutes. Please share with us. Vinnie, are you there? We don't hear you, Vinnie.
Hello, do you hear me now?
We hear you well. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Vinnie. Vinnie S. from New York, compulsive overeater, and I really love the shares and the service that you are doing this morning for everybody's shares. Struggling with food has always been an issue for me my entire life, but I lost my way for a while, but now I seem to be back on the right path, thank God. My higher power and the sponsorship of the meetings is the only thing that keeps me in check with myself, and I need to do that on a daily basis. I mean, the food is just overbearing at times, but you just want to not put the food down, and the mind gets weak, and I run back to food without even realizing that I'm doing it. I have to stay diligent every single day, and I pray to my higher power to keep me alert of everything that I do on a daily basis, taking care of myself. Mind, body, and soul, and spirituality is everything, staying very close to my higher power. So I'm grateful for today. Just wanted to claim my seat, and thank everybody for the shares and the service today. Everyone have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vinny. That's Vinny S. from New York, and Vinny just took us out. Thank you all. Thank you, everyone, who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, April 28th, is 23,407. That is 23,407. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Rena L. please read A Vision for You, where a book is meant to be, suggestive only. Come on in, Rena.
Hi there. Thank you. Good morning. This is Rena, a compulsive recovered eater in Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.